Alaska's newsmakers.
Action Line KINY.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Action Line on KNY. I am your host, Jordan Lewis, and joining me in the studio today, I have Superintendent of the Juneau School District, Frank Hauser. Frank, how have you been? I haven't seen you in a while.
Yeah, I haven't seen you in a while. You've been on vacation. I've been good. It's been busy across the district, but I'm doing well.
Gotcha, because I know I had to do a bit of catch-up when I got back to town to sort of be re-in the loop on a lot of the things that are going on. And so I know the first one I wanted to hit is I did see that there was the decision made to continue with the original consolidation plan. I know there was enough discussion that it got brought up again, but the school board chose to stick with the original plan.
Yeah, the adopted plan that was adopted on February 22nd, 23rd at that meeting is moving forward, and the board adopted a balanced budget on March 14th, unanimously adopted that balanced budget, and so we're moving forward with the consolidations and the unification and the reorganization that was adopted. So yeah, we're moving forward, and there's already been a lot of work towards that transition, putting together transition plans, working with the schools, working with our facilities and maintenance, just to kind of coordinate that work that we know is some of the next steps.
Gotcha. Now, I had, from my understanding of it, I know there are particular, I don't like saying it as concessions to be made in order to meet that budget. I don't like using that kind of terminology, but in a way that is kind of some of what had to be done there. And so maybe talk to me about some of the things that ended up being sort of in that finalization of the budget.
Yeah, well, Jordan, I mean, the reality is, I mean, and we've had this conversation when we've, you know, been discussing really from as far back as, you know, January. But even back in November, you know, conversations around, you know, academic outcomes, reorganization and re-envisioning, you know, how we're providing opportunities for students have been a part of the conversation. And when, you know, there was the audit that came back for the fiscal year of 2023, it was found that there was a $2 million deficit. And then, you know, in January at the board meeting reported that, you know, there was the additional FY24 budget deficit. And then, of course, looking forward to FY25 and some of those structural deficit costs, the district was facing almost a $10 million deficit for FY25. And in order to address that, those structural changes in that reorganization plan, you know, was being discussed and ultimately adopted by the board. I've said it before, when you look at that scale of, that's, you know, about 12% of our overall budget, and it's pretty amazing when you think about that structure that needs to be changed. And even with the consolidation plan that was adopted, that still left about a $4.8 million deficit that needed to be addressed to have a balanced budget. And so as we look at that same amount, or that amount, that $4.8 million that is, you know, a deficit that a budget has to be balanced around, that has a significant impact on the district. Even after the consolidation and the savings from the consolidation plan that was adopted by the board, moving forward, it still is going to have a significant impact without, you know, and one thing that you probably are going to bring up, but, you know, the SB 140, the bill that had the BSA increase, was vetoed by the governor. There was a veto override vote that did not, you know, the override did not happen. And so that override vote failed, which means that on March 14th, when the Juneau School District passed their budget for FY25, the board passed the budget. It is a balanced budget based off of the current BSA that we have, $5,960. And even with that $680 BSA, it equates to about $5.2 million. The district would just be at a break-even spot, but if we had to meet what in board policy the district is, or the board is required to have a fund balance of about 1.5%, and if the board policy with the fund balance was in place and we had the required fund balance in the banks, if you will, in the bank for the school district, it would leave about a $480,000 deficit still, even with that $600 BSA increase. And so, you know, the veto that happened in the, you know, not getting the BSA increase will have still a significant impact on the district. We're looking at potentially releasing up to 46 teaching positions, you know, the FTE that's for teaching positions, 31 classified positions, which are your paraeducators, your office staff, they're your support staff in and around the buildings, and 3.5 administrators. And so those are the impacts, the real impacts of that veto and, you know, not getting that $680 BSA. And so those are the things as the board adopted that budget moving forward. I mean, they have an obligation and it's a requirement by statute that they pass a balanced budget. And so that's the realities that, you know, we're moving forward and planning for, in addition to the consolidation plan that was adopted as well.
Gotcha. Now, one particular thing of note that I wanted to ask you about is, it was brought to my attention that, you know, after a lot of these decisions were made, that you had spent some time on site over at Thunder Mountain. Can you talk to me a bit about what you were doing there?
Oh, you know, I mean, I visit all the schools. I it's just one of the things that I think as a superintendent, you have to be able to visit schools and see what's happening in the schools, build those relationships, have those connections, and just kind of, you know, see firsthand what's happening. I love going in and reading with students and, you know, just kind of helping out where I can. I remember earlier in the year I was filling in as a paraeducator helping students with math. You know, I mean, those are just things that as a superintendent I love getting into the buildings. But yeah, I've visited JD, I've visited Harborview, I've gone through all the schools, and I did visit Thunder Mountain just to, you know, go through and just see how everyone was doing and, you know, ask questions and, you know, just be there and, you know, provide the support. It's just one of those things I think is important as a superintendent. I need to be out in the buildings too and working with staff and hearing from staff and talking to students and, you know, seeing what I can do to continue to support, you know, not only the community as a whole, but all of the schools and the staff and the students in those schools.
Okay. Now, and kind of along those lines, one of my questions is, so what are some things that are being done to maybe help the students sort of prepare for this transition? What are some things that are being done to help out on that end of things?
Well, thanks for asking that question. Well, you know, obviously we've been working with staff, trying to support students, you know, and having conversations from in the background. We've been working on what that transition plan looks like from a facilities perspective and making sure that, you know, I mean, some of this, even the simple things like, do we have boxes ordered? You know, how are we going to, you know, coordinate the timelines? And those are plans that are already happening and have been happening and, you know, that we're working through. But for the students and, you know, for the support of the students, I mean, the student governments at TM and JD have already gotten together. They've met. They met, you know, before spring break, I believe it was. And they've actually come together and formed three subcommittees, which is really great to see. Because, I mean, for me, that's the thing that is so important is, you know, I always tell the story, I work for the students. I mean, I really do. And it's important for me and any of the decisions that I make, it comes back to what's best for kids. How are we supporting the students through this process? And during this transition, making sure that we're hearing from the students and the students are active through that process. And, you know, student government, they've already met as a two different student governments that's unifying into one student government. And they've created three committees. They're going to focus on a constitution committee, which really is going to put together a draft. They're going to draft a new constitution that combines the practices by both schools. So both schools are represented in the unified, you know, high school. They have an election committee that they're forming so they can plan the 2024-25 student council elections and make sure that there's, you know, that all the students from that from both schools, when they come together, they unify, have that opportunity to have that voice on the student council. And of course, they've created their own consolidation committee, which really is focused on promoting a smooth, welcoming, and inclusive transition. And so the students are coming together, working with their peers, and, you know, finding out how do we move forward, how do we have a smooth transition process and make sure that those shared values of both schools come together and create, like I said, that unified high school, the unified values, and, you know, really kind of take that next step for, you know, the Juneau high schools in, you know, the high schools in Juneau, you know, or the high school in Juneau, literally gets moved forward and, you know, what that's going to look like. And for me, having student voice in that is the single most important thing.
Gotcha. Now, another thing I had a question about is, because of sort of the interpretation of how this has kind of been perceived, is I know that the city had also made the decision to sort of also help sort of try and solve some of the funding issues, at least this time around. And knowing how folks are whenever the city spends money in town, that tended to be viewed a bit controversially by members of the public, but I wanted to get your take on it.
Well, you know, I guess I would come back, and I mean, there was, you know, some discussions with the Assembly, and the Assembly did pass three ordinances. One was a loan for up to $4.1 million to help offset the deficit from this fiscal year, FY24. When that deficit was identified on January 9th and reported to the board, there's at that point we started, you know, freezing hiring. We, you know, I tell the story. I haven't printed a piece of paper, you know, provided, you know, but I haven't printed a piece of paper, you know, since I told staff that we're, you know, starting to limit our printing of paper to try to do everything we can to try to save on funds to minimize what that deficit we are facing for this fiscal year. And so, you know, that's a loan. You know, that is money that the school district is planning for and starting to plan for paying back starting in FY26. And so that's a loan. There were other shared services. The other two ordinances were shared services ordinances for non-instructional. And a lot of people might not realize that the city owns all of the facilities, the buildings that the school district occupies. And they're being used for educational purposes, which is laid out in charter, in statute and charter. But the important piece about the shared services is, you know, we talk about, you know, upkeep, and, you know, we have deferred maintenance funds that go towards, you know, through this city that goes to, you know, paying for deferred maintenance. And this is, I see almost an extension of that. We have shared services that are, you know, helping to provide maintenance work, operations. We offer community schools, and our schools are used outside of the education setting. They're used for community activities. We just had a pretty large basketball tournament at JD this last week, which is huge. And that's a community event that gets put on in our schools that's not part of free public education and part of what you would consider the operating fund, which is, you know, that fund that we talk about every single year that's the primary part of our budget. And so, you know, those shared services for community events, community activities, for the upkeep of our facilities that really are city facilities, it's good for the community. It's good for, you know, everyone else. And so that's a lot of those shared services are going back and trying to recognize that, you know, the buildings are being used for more than just educational purposes. They're being used for community good. We've got the pre-K programs in there. We've got Rally, childcare. We've got all of these community schools. You know, we've got all these different programs that utilize the facilities, and the shared services agreement, which some of that extra funding from the Assembly is going towards covering some of those costs that really are non-instructional and for the community good, and, you know, promote programs not only for community youth, but the community as a whole.
Gotcha. And that was somewhat how I originally interpreted that. I just know oftentimes there can be folks within the community where they just see the city spend money and immediately go, why are you spending money? And so naturally that question pretty much always comes up. Now, when it comes to those facilities that are closing, you know, Floyd is the big one that comes to mind for me. I understand that the plan is to then have those buildings go back to the city, and then it would be up to the city to determine what is to become of those. Is that correct?
That is correct, yeah. And, you know, I appreciate, you know, I want to we've talked about the high schools a lot, and I want to talk about the middle schools too. I mean, I've got a chance to talk to some of the middle school student council as well, because, you know, we also have Floyd Dryden and Zonta Kahini. You know, they're going to be moving to a new facility for them. They're moving to Thunder Mountain, and those middle school students are going to have probably the nicest middle school in the state of Alaska. And I'm really excited for them to have that opportunity of a new facility. And, you know, I think it's important to always remember that, you know, the Thunder Mountain campus, that facility is going to continue to do great things for kids for decades to come for our middle school students. And I'm excited for those students to have that opportunity of a new facility and have all the benefits that will bring to them as well. But for those schools that are, you know, being, you know, closed, if you will, and decommissioned, however you want to say it, like Floyd Dryden, Marie Drake Building, and even the central offices, the district office itself, those will be released back to the city. And the city at that time will take, you know, over ownership of them, even though they own them, though the maintenance operations, all that aspect of the buildings. And they will take those over. And at that point, it becomes the city's determination how they would like to utilize that space. Yep.
Gotcha. Now, my sort of my next question here is, you know, I do know that there is also the House bill that's being worked on for education funding. What could things look like, say that one goes through, you know, has that BSA increase, and we do see those things come about? Because I want to be at least somewhat optimistic for the future. A lot of what we've been covering when it comes to the school district has been quite negative, and I'm open to acknowledging that fact, and that can be very discouraging for a lot of folks. So shifting to somewhat of more of an optimistic lens, what could things look like if that bill goes through with that increase in there?
Well, like I said earlier in the interview, even with the consolidation, the district is facing about a $4.8 million deficit, which means that the board, in order to balance that, had to have a reduction in force and is looking at reducing, like I said, 46 teaching positions, the FTE associated with 46 teaching positions, 31 classified, and 3.5 administrators. And right now it's House Bill 392, which has all of those components that were in Senate Bill 140, not only the BSA, which, you know, is in House Bill 392 as well, but it has the addition for pupil transportation, which a lot of people don't realize. Pupil transportation is funded separately, and it has not seen an increase in the formula for pupil transportation since 2014. And so that, you know, we talk about increased costs, fuel costs, contract costs, transportation costs, and we've not seen additional funding to go towards pupil transportation. And so that's in there as well. And there's also $500 per student that's identified as needing additional support in the Alaska Reads Act. And so if that bill were to go through and become law and increase a base student allocation, pupil transportation, those supports for Alaska Reads Act, those are additional supports. I mean, you know, we would be able to not have as near the number of reductions in force that we'd have and loss of some of our support staff and our teaching staff. A lot of that comes from the pupil-teacher ratio. So we'd be able to see, and the board at that point would be able to come back and look and say, okay, what do we want to put back in to make sure that we're meeting those needs of our programs and our students. You know, one area that we had to make some adjustments with is in our talent enrichment, our TED program. You know, that is an area that the board has expressed interest when they pass the budget to say, if money comes back in, we want to look at that and see how we can, you know, support that out a little bit more. Reducing PTRs seems like a very obvious area to focus on, which means, you know, you bring back some of your staff to be able to, you know, lower the pupil-teacher ratio in the classrooms. Because we went from, 23.5 at a primary, 26 fourth through fifth grade, 25 at middle school, and 26 at high school, which is the PTR numbers, to 26 in our K-3 and 30 fourth through high school. So, you know, having some adjustments there to make sure that we're keeping our PTR levels down. And just going in, trying to continue to look at additional structures that, you know, we want to support. I mean, we have been in a situation where the last 3 years have been in a deficit. And we'll really, the last FY22, we did have a little bit of a deficit that was identified in the audit too, 23 and 24. We have a balanced budget for 25. Moving forward, my commitment is we are going to, very open and transparent with the information, with the budget, which we've been, I mean, all of our recordings, all of our meetings, all those things have been online and available, making sure that we are having those and we're being good stewards of the funds that come in. And if we were to get, if the board, should say districts were to receive an increase in the base student allocation, coming back and looking at how we stage ourselves and make sure we have good programs in place to continue to provide high quality education and opportunities for our students in the Juneau community.
Gotcha. And then my last question for you, Superintendent Hauser, is kind of another kind of more optimistic outlook. Obviously, there's going to be, mergers with certain activity departments, namely like with the sports. Those are probably going to end up merging. How would that kind of play out?
Well, I think that, I think that you talk about some of the, highlights that we've had, a Thunder Mountain boys basketball team, we're state runners up. Thunder Mountain cheer team, we're state runners up. JD cheer team, we're state champions. And, you look at, that's just one recent example of some of the successes that we had. Girls basketball, Thunder Mountain, I think, placed fourth. And so, those are some of the successes we have. We bring those students together. One commitment I've really been pushing and saying is that I want to continue to provide those activities for our students. I think we talked about it at the last interview. It was something that was very important to me as I was growing up. It changed my life having access to be able to participate in a high school activity. And I think being able to continue to promote those and support that is really important to me. But, you know, you are going to see some very competitive teams on a statewide level, much like when, you know, Juneau had just one high school beforehand. Juneau was a powerhouse when it came to a number of sports. And, you know, you'll see that combination, you know, there'll be on a statewide level, Juneau will be, you know, they're already competitive, but I mean, it's going to be even more so across a lot more, you know, of our activities and our programs. And so, you know, there's still going to be that commitment and the support for student activities and those opportunities for students and making sure that, you know, we continue to, you know, do great things and, you know, show how amazing our Juneau students are.
All righty. Well, on that, Superintendent Hauser, thank you very much for coming in. It's always good to catch up with you. I know hopefully it'll be under less stressful times one of these days.
Yeah. And if I could just have I do have just a couple of announcements just for the, I just wanted to let people know that the Rally Summer Registration Program is actually going to be taking place at Sititi-Chinook, Glacier Valley, and Harborview Schools on Monday, June 3rd through Wednesday, August 7th. And so the summer rally is actually going to be from 7:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. daily. And so you can look online at the JuneauSchools.org website for applications. But I wanted to make sure people knew that summer rally is registration is coming up. We also have our 2024-25 integrated peers and kinder ready application that's taking place. And that really is for our preschool programs to enroll children ages 3 through 4 and children who turn 5 after September 1st. So it really is just a great opportunity. So start looking at that if you're interested in kinder ready or integrated peers. And then really the other thing I just wanted to talk about was some of our optional programs. The application period is now open for next school year. And so if you're interested in Juneau Community Charter School, Montessori Borealis Public School, or the Tlingit Culture, Language, and Literacy Program, our TCLL program, applications for next school year are now available at the website, JuneauSchools.org, and they are due by April 19th. So I just wanted to make sure that I let people know that they're out there. Log in if you're interested in one of those programs to be considered for a placement for next school year.
All right, we'll definitely make sure that gets out there. But like I said, Superintendent Hauser, thank you very much for coming on.
Jordan, always a pleasure. Thank you.
All right, you've been listening to Action Line on KINY.